Glad you could join us. It's Bills by the Numbers. We're back, and we're here to let you know where the Bills are at when it comes to the stats. We're presented by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Coming up, Buffalo has dipped their budgetary toe into free agency early. Will there be much more? These Three Things examines where things go from here in the Buffalo offseason, and Steve is quizzed on Bills free agent history in the numbers game. Sound the bell! All right, happy to have you with us here on Bills by the Numbers. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker, Bills Insider Chris Brown with you. And free agency has begun. We knew from the jump that with Buffalo's cap situation, they weren't going to be active spenders in the open market, or at least big spenders in the open market. But as GM Brandon Bean does, he has already filled some holes on the roster. To this point, Steve Arino, what would you call their most important signing thus far, and why?
I think it's got to be Daquan Jones, maybe A.J. Epenesa if you put those two together. The hole in the roster at that position on the defensive line, both at the edge and inside, was noticeable. They got, you know, they just didn't have any bodies. And to get Daquan back and A.J. back after the, you know, the step forward A.J.'s game took last season, I think those were important because now it's not, you know, you got guys that can line up and play a full game anyway at an NFL level. Because right now, every other spot in there, the rotational thing they like to do can take a back seat if they don't have the guys that can play. So they've got guys that can go out and win games, I think, right now. But those, I think, were the important ones.
Yeah, I would say it's probably Daquan. I think a lot of people saw him as priority number one to get back in the fold of Buffalo's list of free agents. They did that. To the tune of a two-year, $16 million contract. He really is the main anchor up there. They're going to have to add other people. We know that. But he was kind of the anchor guy. You know, if the Bills are playing tug-of-war, that's the guy with the rope wrapped around him at the back of the line.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, to me, yes. I think you could make an argument for Taylor Rapp, knowing that Poyer and Hyde are probably not part of this team this coming season. I mean, Poyer's already signed in Miami. I know Micah Hyde is contemplating retirement. I don't think anybody really expects him back. So you could make an argument for Rapp due to the void that was left there. But, yeah, I think it's Daquan all day, every day. What would you quantify as a good under-the-radar signing for Buffalo to this point that you think could yield more value than people might think on the surface? And that could be a re-signing or a new addition.
I'm going to say re-signing. And we'll get into this a little later. We didn't see them trading Ryan Bates and cutting Mick Morris. I understand the reasons for it, but those were kind of like, wow, okay, because that was a big move. Mm-hmm. So I think the guy that's under the radar signing is David Edwards. The Bills' offensive line was a huge part of their success last year. All five of those guys took virtually every snap that was meaningful. David Edwards was the sixth guy in. He's a young player as well. So keeping the front line intact in front of Josh – in a league where we've said you're in an arms race, and we're all kind of focused and like we can't get our mind off that number two wide receiver, but we still have Steph Diggs, Dalton Kincaid, James Cook, Dawson Knox. Now we've got some guys offensively as some weapons that we can unfurl and play well. While the wide receiver two is important, it all comes apart if you don't have an offensive line. Ask the New York Jets last year when they bring Aaron Rodgers in and they got all these high hopes and stuff.
And four plays
in, he's blown up. So I really think that the signing of David Edwards reiterates that the Bills aren't going to forget in the early days of Josh Allen, they might have had a much better football team even in Josh's rookie year had they been stronger up front.
Yeah.
And I think the David Edwards signing was really important, and it was obviously – not a real sexy re-signing, offensive guard, all that
but
stuff.
You're looking at a projected starter there.
So he's a guy.
I like that pick. That's a good pick. I'm going to go to the other side of the ball, and I'm going to go with AJ here. I don't know what it is, but I feel like he was finally putting it all together last season, but he was largely in a rotational role and really didn't get a chance to maximize how far he had taken his game. Now, with the deck somewhat cleared, and look, I do believe they are going to add more at the edge position. But as it stands now, you're looking at Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, and Kingsley Jonathan. and AJ Epenesa. Mm-hmm. Those are four right now. And I think, yes, maybe they draft one and add one that way. And if it's earlier in the draft, maybe it is somebody that could leapfrog AJ for playing time if the guy's quick on the uptake. But I think AJ is going to play the most snaps he has ever played in a Bills uniform this season just by attrition. There's no Leonard Floyd. I don't think anybody expects Shaq Lawson back in the fray. And even if you do, he's not playing more than AJ at this stage in his career. So I think due to an increased snap count, I think AJ could be even more valuable this year than he was for this team last year, which was arguably, and I believe, his best in a Bills uniform by far. Now let's discuss some of the subtractions. You already mentioned it. The Mitch Morse subtraction was probably the one we hoped didn't have to happen, but it's hard to argue with an $8.5 million cap savings. Word is that Connor McGovern will slide from left guard to center. I think we anticipate that he'll have competition, whether it's Alec Anderson, another free agent, perhaps a draft choice. But how do we view the center spot in the wake of that move?
I think you feel you got to feel optimistic. Optimistically confident. Connor McGovern is a good player. He has played 1,000 snaps in college at center, or they're close to 1,000 snaps. I think the one thing that gives you pause is the fact that just before they released Mitch Morse, they traded Ryan Bates, who was the swing guy all the way across. He could play all five spots, that kind of athlete. He had trouble getting on the field at any one of those spots right. as a starter, but certainly was a more than capable backup at all of those spots.
And started in years past.
And he has started games. I think they have the thought, and I at least I do, that Alec Anderson can fill in at any one of those five spots. He's that kind of athlete as well. Big, tall, big-framed guy. Has the athleticism to play tackle in college and played well. And then he's got a year under his belt here at the pro level. I think he's going to have an elevated role more than what he did a year ago as a rookie out of UCLA. So I think there's bodies there. But you're right. And the offensive line, center is a question mark. I think David Edwards is going to fill in fine. He's going to be a starter quality at guard, no question about it. He did it for the Rams. He
won a Super Bowl as a starter for the Rams.
So I think it's going to take some reps, no question, and we have to see it happen. But I don't think there's any problem that Connor McGovern can't play center. I think it's going to be an easy transition. But we got to see it to believe it.
Yeah, he only has 100 career snaps in the NFL at the center spot, which he did back in Dallas. He was largely a guard there. Obviously, he was the left guard all season here last year. Did play guard his whole sophomore season at Penn State, but that's about 5 years in the rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. So it will be an adjustment. You hope he takes back to it, just like riding a bike. And if that happens, I think you're good. Alec Anderson, I think, is your guard-to-guard guy.
Right.
As a swing guard slash center, I think they'll give him the opportunity to compete with McGovern for the starting job. We'll see how that shakes out. Very quietly, this is Alec Anderson's third season. I mean, he's been working with Cromer for 2 years now.
Right. He's still hanging around the building. They like him.
And the other guy that's been in the pipeline for a while is Ryan Vandermark. So he's your swing tackle, short of another addition. And Alec Anderson's your swing guard.
And they still haven't washed their hands completely, I don't think, of Tommy Doyle.
No, who's coming back from an ACL, straight ACL.
So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, you have to consider him a huge question mark, but he's still in the mix.
Yeah.
They drafted him for a reason as well. So, yeah, there's some guys out there and some things they're going to have to shake themselves out.
But they'll probably add, too.
Right, but thankfully, I think it's the guys below those five that we're thinking are going to start. Below David Anderson, below Connor McGovern, it's not those five guys, but we've seen it happen. Didn't happen last year,
right.
So maybe they're due that they're going to have to go through their depth a little bit. Yeah.
Time for these three things, where we look into our crystal ball on some things that could impact the remainder of Buffalo's offseason. The defensive line has Daquan Jones and AJ Epenesa back in the fold, as we mentioned, but there is still work to do. Knowing the cost of the defensive tackle and edge rusher position, how do you see Brandon Bean filling the remaining holes up front defensively?
There's a couple of ways. I think he'll draft a guy. They'll draft a body to come in and play at least one, maybe more, maybe an edge and a tackle. But I also think late in the free agency process, you're going to see a guy, maybe a surprising quality guy, sign a one-year deal a la Leonard Floyd last year. But I think it might be a DT this time instead of a defensive end. It'll be a defensive tackle. I think you'll see a guy sign a short one-year prove-it deal late in the process. That's I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to draft one and sign more because they got to have guys like that. That from the, when the league year started on the 15th, you got to sign 90 guys. So they'll sign those guys, and I think that's where it's going to come from. They are going to draft a guy, I'm sure. Whether it's at 28, like we've all, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be a wideout at 28 if they actually pick at 28 and not 25 or 24 or whatever it is. But I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to draft a guy, and late in the process in this free agency, they're going to get all the way into June late, and the guys are going to be out there watching, and they're going to look for an opportunity, and Brandon will talk one of the guys that maybe is a quality player that'll be like, hey, like a Leonard Floyd, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we got that guy.
Yeah.
I think that he might try and make that happen once again.
I think that sounds good for a plan. I think they're coming out of the draft with three total defensive linemen. If they keep 11 picks or 10 picks, I think three of them are going to be defensive linemen.
Yeah.
I think just the sheer number standpoint and the necessity for cheap labor. Those are high-priced positions. Buffalo does not have the cap room to compete for free agents of any ilk unless, to your point, they're still out there post-draft. And then maybe you can get somebody to agree to an incentive-laden one-year deal, something of that nature.
Yeah,
but you got to draft some cheap labor, and I think you can do that at both of those positions. The question is, how early in the draft are you addressing it, and then are you backfilling, you know, on day three of the draft with some talent you feel like you can develop into, you know, a role player sooner rather than later?
I'll say this. I think half the picks, five or six of the 11 picks are going to be defensive line wide receiver. Five or six of the picks are going to be.
Yeah, I'm hoping they come out with two receivers.
And there's going to be a safety in there.
Yes, I think there has to be.
There has to be a safety in there as well. So those three positions are going to take the lion's share of the position groups where the Bills draft, I think. Now, that doesn't mean to say that if things go well in free agency and they sign one of those really good dudes earlier, that they won't say, all right, you know what, we're going to take a linebacker, we're going to take a running back or whatever in the mid-round. So I don't know. But, yeah, the lion's share of the position group is going to be defensive line, wide receiver, and I think they're going to sprinkle in a safety.
Let's flip it to the offense where they have another high-priced position that needs filling. They signed free agent Mac Hollins, but he's only been a number two receiver once in his career. That was in 2022 with the Raiders when he won the number two job coming out of camp behind top receiver Devontae Adams and had a career year. Do you believe they still add another value signing at receiver, or is it all-out draft at this point to further address the receiver position?
No, I think they may try and grab a guy. It's, you know, it'll be a guy who has been a second-tier guy, like Mac Hollins. I'll say this.
Budgetary signing.
Yes, but I'll say this about Mac Hollins. That's a guy that elevated when he got more opportunity. They have done that with Gabe Davis, and Gabe never elevated. Mac Hollins did. When he got more opportunity, he caught more balls. But he's a little bit like Gabe. The ball hits the ground a little too much. He doesn't catch the ball all that much better than Gabe did, although he does some.
Yeah, career catch rate of 59%.
Yeah.
Gabe is 53.5.
So it's I think that's one for one at this point, you have to say.
I will point this out about Mac Hollins. The best quarterback he has ever played with is Derek Carr. That's the best quarterback he's played with in his career.
Right.
And he only did it for essentially one season. I mean, he's had Desmond Ridder, I think Brian Fitzpatrick late in his career in Miami. So I think there's something to be said for that, knowing Gabe Davis played his whole career with one of the two best quarterbacks in football. I think if you put Mac Hollins with Josh Allen, you can argue that there is some upside still to be reached there, in my estimation, even if he's just a role player, which I think in an ideal world is the case. You know, he's a four at best in this offense because you've drafted a stud,
right?
Maybe two. Diggs is still Diggs, and you have Shakir and Kincaid. It's still part of the mix.
And James so, yeah, Cook.
But yeah, I so. Yes, yes. But I do tend to think that it's all out draft at this point. There could be a budgetary 1 year deal type signing coming up.
Yeah, I don't.
After that, I think it's all draft.
I don't want to be one of these guys, but and I don't want to belittle the effort that they're putting in to get finding a number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
That's not going to make or break their season, I don't think, because of the guys we just mentioned. Number two, if he comes in and carves out a niche for himself, awesome, it's great. But this offense is going to hum with or without a great number two.
Right.
And so, but like you said, if you're looking for some place to fix something, that's the place you're going to do it, at the number two wide receiver position, and I get it. But don't think if Mac Hollins doesn't knock it out of the park, but he's the guy in there, that it's not going to go extremely well for this club.
Right, but I think knowing the caliber of player you want to put in that role, because I think all things being equal, Bills, in their effort to get over the hump in the AFC and get to the Super Bowl, I think you've come to the realization that your number two receiver has to give you more than what Gabe Davis has given you each of the last 2 years if you're going to get over the hump, yeah, even with the development of Shakir and the emergence of Kincaid in his rookie season. So with that in mind, I don't know if you can afford to find that on the free agent market. Yeah. So it screams early in the draft,
right,
to me.
This team is coming down. It's going to come down to it again. This whole shooting match is going to come down to making one more play than Pat Mahomes, yeah, and Travis Kelce make. That's kind of where we're at right now. You mm-hmm. can say or it could be Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, those guys as well, same thing, or Lamar and that crew. Mark Andrews, those kind of guys. You got to make one more play than those guys make in the game. And it's going to be at the end of the season. We'll see.
The third of these three things is, do you envision the Bills making a post-draft signing or two the way they did last offseason when they signed Puna Ford and Leonard Floyd? And if so, do you have a position in mind? You kind of said it already.
Yeah, really.
You think they will do that, but do you have a position in mind?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be the exact same thing. I'll say this, too. You and I... We mentioned his name earlier, Kingsley Jonathan, as being one of the four guys that are here now, already signed
for Edge. Yeah,
I'm not going to put all my names on our whiteboard in one spot, but you and I. But I've said this from the beginning. I'm still high on Vaughn. I think Vaughn's going to come back and play very well for this defense, and hopefully he can stay healthy. The second guy is Kingsley Jonathan.
He's got juice.
He has got some juice. And I'm telling you, that guy's going to give the Bills and Bills Mafia a little more than what they expect at this point. But having said that, yes, post-draft, they're going to sign a big body down inside. Who that is, I have no idea. I don't know if they'll be able to sign another guy like Leonard Floyd in the season he had last year. That's going to be hard. But there's going to be guys out there. And I think you can look for him to sign a one-year deal guy, either at tackle or at end on defensive line late in the process.
Yeah, I could see that. I think another post-draft signing could be at the safety position. As I mentioned on our daily show, One Bills Live, in the 2023 offseason, there were 18 starters in the free agent market at the safety position. The market was depressed. Nobody got money except for a few. This year, by the time all the player releases were done, 29 starting safeties in the free agent market. There are bound to be a few pretty good ones,
right,
post-draft.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I think the Bills could get a real bargain on their hands if they just kind of hold their water at that position. Maybe draft a safety, you know, somewhere in the middle rounds, late rounds, somebody you feel you can develop and grow into a player that can help you on special teams as a rookie. But I think there could be some good value at the safety position post-draft.
Make no mistake, too, those 29 safeties that are out there, the Bills know their own deficiencies on their roster. Brandon Bean and his crew, you can bet, have already contacted a handful of guys at safety position saying, listen, I know we don't have the money to sign you right now. If you don't get your money out there that you're looking for, whatever, just keep thinking about us, because when it gets to June or whenever this is going to be,
yeah,
and you still don't have a job and you want to play, you can come here and we're going to have a shot at this thing. If you want a shot at taking a one-year deal with us, getting on the field, earning an extension after that with us because of our cap situation, we can't give you a long-term deal now, But if you want a shot at the whole thing and playing a Super Bowl and playing a playoff game, we're your team. We'd love to have you for a year.
And that's what they were doing with Puna Ford last year. They're just saying, hold your water, hold your water. Right. We'll get to you. We'll get to
you. They'll have a handful, a list of those safeties that they think they have a shot at. And depending on who is the most receptive to that conversation, they'll pursue him hard. It's the way it is. And so you don't. It's, when we say hold your water, don't think that they're not in contact with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of cool to think about.
Yeah. Back burner stuff, but they still have the flame on. We turn now to the numbers game, where Steve will be quizzed on Bills free agent history. Here we go with question number one. The Bills lost three former draft choices in free agency at this time last year. Can you name at least two of them?
Oh, gee, my crickets.
Three former draft choices of the Bills lost in free agency last year at this
time. Tremaine Edmonds.
Tremaine Edmonds is correct. Actually, there's four, now that I think about it. I just thought of a fourth.
You didn't even know. You forgot about Tremaine, didn't you? Because he was obvious.
He was obvious. Didn't think about him.
I'm going to say in free agency last
year, they lost four of their own draft choices.
Man, oh man, I don't think I'm going to be able to get this.
There's one pretty obvious one.
Oh, Devin Singletary.
There you go.
I will say.
And then these two are lesser known.
Yeah, I'll say offensive lineman. No, I can't remember anything. Is there an offensive lineman in there?
Not that I have. The other two I have.
Wait, which side of the ball?
One offense, one defense.
I didn't help. The Levi Wallace. He's not a draft pick.
He was not.
And that was 2 years ago. Let's say. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking defensive back.
You're in the right position. Defensive back.
Who was it?
Didn't play a lot on defense.
Right. Just got like a Cam Lewis guy, or who was it? I don't know who was it.
Jaquan Johnson.
Ah, Jaquan Johnson, that's right.
And then the other one was Tommy Sweeney, who went to the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy right. Sweeney went to the Giants.
Okay.
Question number two. You got two out of four. That's all we were asking for.
500.
Question two. Who were the two Bills free agent signings last offseason who were signed away from division rivals? Should be able to get this.
Trent Sherfield.
Correct.
And I will say... the other one. Division rivals. Trent Sherfield. Well, I don't think we signed anybody from the Jets, did we? Patriots. Is another guy from the Dolphins?
It is not.
Who do we get from the Pats or the Jets? I cannot remember.
Wheels are
not
turning.
Deontay Hardy came from the Saints, right?
Saints, yep.
Oh.
I know why this guy is tough for you. Because he missed the second half of the season due to injury.
Well, so he played some, huh? Division rival. I'm thinking. Got it. It's a... Oh. No. Who was it?
It was Damian Harris, the running back.
Yeah, you got
it. From New England.
Yeah.
Okay, question three.
I should have known that.
After Connor McGovern, which Bill signing had the most total value last offseason, contract value? So Connor McGovern was 3 years, $23 million. That was the most expensive free agent contract handed out last offseason by the Bills. Who was second?
It might have been the one-year deal to Leonard Floyd.
That was 1 year for $7 million. Yeah. It was not the most total value.
Let me think. Total value of a free agent signing.
Yes.
Not Puna.
And I'll give you a hint. It was a player that re-signed with the Bills.
Oh. Who was a free agent re-signing for the Bills? Oh, wait. I get it.
So he had been here.
I'm going to say.
He had been here already.
Jordan Phillips.
Not Jordan Phillips. That was 1 year, $3 million.
I'm in the right spot, though, right? I'm in the right position.
Well, it's one of... No, you're not in the right position.
Oh, really?
No. You're on the right side of the ball.
Total value. I'm going to say... No.
I'll give you one more guess.
All right. I'm going to say Shaq Lawson.
No. It was Jordan Poyer. 2 years, oh, $12.5 million. So there you go. Last question.
I should have known that.
Here's a layup for you, okay?
All right.
I was kind of clueless that I didn't think of this initially myself. But in the Brandon Bean era, what is the biggest contract handed out to a free agent in terms of total value?
Oof.
You'll get there pretty quickly.
Free agents. No, it's not. They traded for Diggs. Deion was
biggest free agent contract handed out by Brandon Bean in the free agency.
Mitch Morse.
Mitch Morse is third on the list. 4 years, $44.5 million.
Daquan.
It is not Daquan. Steve, this one is obvious, and you're going to kick yourself.
Oh, it's Von Miller.
It's Von Miller. Yes. 6 years, $120 million, $51 million guaranteed. Right. Believe it or not, in second place, Star Lotulelei.
Really?
5 years, $50 million.
And I'll tell you what, most of it, he played really well for the club. Star played really
then
well.
COVID hit and COVID got a little wonky.
And, you know, he opted out, and, you know, and that's the way it goes. But he played, he had some, man, Star had some moments, man.
Big game against Dallas on Thanksgiving. Had the fumble recovery, or was it an interception? Yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah. Wow, he had a takeaway. Star Lotulelei.
He's second, but Vaughn was number one. Yeah. Bills fans, get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Just download the app today to play any way you want. Plus, with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. Best of all, you get paid your winnings fast. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the Buffalo Bills. We come down the stretch with our one burning question. We know that the two starting safeties from last year's team are no longer on the roster. Taylor Rapp was re-signed, as well as Cam Lewis. If one of the two new starters at safety for the Bills this fall is not yet on the roster, do you believe it will be a free agent or a draft pick?
I think it'll be a free agent. There are too many quality starters on the market. They're not all going to find a home. Mm-hmm. Late in the process, the Bills will pick up a veteran free agent safety, even after the draft, and he'll be plugged in first because he'll just have that confidence, and he'll have a bigger depth of knowledge than a draft pick would. So I think it's going to come from a free agent signing. There's just too many guys on the market that are quality players.
That's factor number one, because I tend to agree with you. I think it will be another free agent signing. I think the other factor to consider here is the importance that head coach Sean McDermott places on the safety position. If you think back to 2017, when this guy was starting from scratch, he did not put a rookie on the field at safety. He decided, even though his roster was relatively barren, the first two free agent signings he had were Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. Now, Hyde had time in the league,
mm-hmm.
as did Poyer. Hyde much more time on the field than Poyer, who had gotten some playing time with Cleveland.
Right.
But still, did not even consider putting a rookie on the field. I think it'd have to be like a lights-out rookie-type prospect, high draft choice to have a chance at it.
I think both you and I believe there's going to be a rookie draft pick and a free agent on the roster.
Yes, I would agree
with that. Both those guys are going to be there to choose from.
They will be there.
But I do think the veteran will get them.
A rookie would have to absolutely hit it out of the park to have a shot at starting at an all-important position like safety. Our closing figure deals with catch rate, and we kind of hinted at it already. Buffalo saw Gabe Davis sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars in free agency, and they themselves signed veteran receiver Mac Hollins. Over the last two seasons, Gabe Davis, 93 receptions, 1,582 yards, and a career catch rate of 53.5%. Mac Hollins in a much lesser role, 94 receptions, 941 yards, and a career catch rate of 59%. That'll do it for this episode. Remember to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use so you know when our next episode is out, because when you need to know about the Bills, you need to check Bills by the numbers. For Steve Tasker, I'm Chris Brown. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time, everybody.